So before Walter comes up and shares with us, just been pondering over these thoughts that sometimes for us as Christians, we come to church and we come and hear what the pastor wants to say, you know? Or we come to church or we hear like, let's hear what the duomini has to say, you know? I've been reading through the book of Jeremiah, and if you've ever read through that book, I would seriously encourage you to do that. Because, you know, God says to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah's a young prophet. He gets called as a young, probably teenager, and he comes to bring a hard message to Israel. And in the one chapter, I can't think about it now, a couple of readings ago, God says to Jeremiah, you have to go to the potter's house. You have to go out to the potter's house, and I'm going to speak to you there. And he sits there at the potter's house, and I can just imagine Jeremiah just sitting there going, God, what are you going to say? What does the potter has to say to me, or whatever it is? And as he's watching the potter with his wheel, God ministers to him. And many of us, we know exactly that message that he gets from the potter, that we are the clay, and he is the potter, you know. And God spoke to him through a potter, through clay. And I want to encourage you this morning, because one thing that we hold highly here at Calvary Chapel, Paul, is not pastors. We don't. We love them. God's given them to us, but we hold highly God's word. And so when we come here this morning, we want to hear from Jesus. Like we sing the song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. We just want to see you. We just want to see you. And so in saying that, I'm so super excited to have my friend Walter come and minister to this morning. I decided to put kind of Hebrews on hold because I really wanted to kind of engulf myself in the outreach program this week and not spend the whole week kind of trying to do preparation. And it was seriously blessed my heart to be a part of the outreach. And Walter said he would gladly come and minister. And so Walter, if you don't know him, he's actually a part of our board here at the church. He's also a part of Calvary Chapel, Somerset West. And he and his wife are busy hearing what the Lord is doing in Table View. They live out in Table View. They've currently got a Bible study that meets on Tuesday evenings at their home. And it's really, really exciting. Because we believe that God's going to be planting a Calvary Chapel in Somerset West, which is really, really exciting. Did I say Somerset West? Was that prophetic? In Table View. And I hope it wasn't one of those Isaac Esau kind of moments. Anyway, in Table View. And so, Walter, come up here. I'm going to pray for him. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for my friend Walter. I thank you for the word that you've put upon his heart. Thank you for the work that you are doing in him, Lord Jesus, but also through him, Lord. Thank you for the heart that he has for us as pastors in this network, Lord. He's the glue. He's the guy that just reaches out and always just checking in on us, Lord. And Father God, I want to pray that you would bless him and you would bless our hearts this morning as we hear him and as we hear you through him, Lord. May we see you as we walk through the scriptures this morning. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you, man.
Thank you. Good morning to everyone. It's good to be here and such a blessing always. So super thankful. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians, at our Bible study in Table View, we've got, is that slightly loud or is it, there we go, thank you. In our Bible study in Table View, we're busy going through 1 Corinthians and we got to chapter 12, obviously speaking about the gifts. And I sort of just want to do an overview, not so much focusing and zooming in on every gift, etc., but more an overview of chapter 12, 13, touching on chapter 14, going to Romans 12. So there's a lot that we're going to be covering. But pretty much an overview of the gifts, right? And that's really what it's about. So let's just commit the time to the Lord and ask Him just to bless our time. Father, we're grateful, Lord, that we've got You, Lord. We're grateful for our salvation. We're grateful, Father, for what You've done in our lives, Lord. And Father, we want to worship You this morning, and we want to just come before You, Lord God, as we have in song, Lord. We want to worship You with a word, Lord. And Father, we want to have that same attitude of worship, Lord God, in our hearts, Lord. As we sang to You, Lord God, we want to receive Your word with humility, Lord God, and surrender, Lord God. And we just want Your word to have its way inside of our hearts, Lord. We just want to pray, bless this time, minister to our hearts. Let Your Spirit do what only You can do, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I've entitled the message, Using Our Spiritual Gifts. Using Our Spiritual Gifts. And so chapter 12 starts out with this phrase, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now the interesting part is that there are actually three times in the Bible it tells us that we should not be ignorant about something. So it's Paul's letters, right? He's writing, I do not want you to be ignorant about Israel. That's in Romans 11. And then in Thessalonians, he says, I do not want you to be ignorant about Christ's return, right? Speaking about the rapture, about the return, etc. And here he's saying, I do not want you to be ignorant about the spiritual gifts. And really what we're seeing within the church is probably one of the greatest ignorances on these three areas. And it's quite interesting that he's actually warning specifically about these areas, and he's going, you know what, I do not want you to be ignorant about this. I want you to know, I want you to understand. And so having said that, I just want to read from verse 4 to 6. It says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. You might have noticed something here, that in the first sentence it says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Then it continues and says there are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord, right? Whenever it mentions Lord in the Bible, it's really speaking about the Lord Jesus, right, in the New Testament. And then it says, and there are diversity of activities, but it's the same God. When it refers to God, usually speaking about God the Father. So we've got the Trinity right here in these verses, and speaking about the spiritual gifts, right? Diversities of gifts, basically they're different kinds, they're distinct, they're unlike each other, but it's the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries or administrations as such, workings, how they work, but it's the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, really speaking about operations, the way they operate, but it's the same God who works all in all. So really what this is saying, no gift is exactly alike, right? So for example, you've got the gift of teaching, right? And somebody might be a really gifted communicator as he's communicating to a congregation, right? A pastor. And then there might be somebody that's extremely gifted in small group settings, just knowing how to ask the right questions and, you know, just drawing out truths out of the text, being really, God has gifted somebody with small groups. And then you might have one-on-one, right? That somebody's really gifted in teaching somebody one-on-one, or somebody might be really gifted in women's ministry, or somebody might be really gifted in children's ministry or youth ministry, etc., right? So it's the same gift, but there are different uses of it, right? And so different operations, different administrations. And so we shouldn't expect every gift to look exactly the same, right? Because God has tailor-made that gift for our personalities, right? For your personality, you've got a specific gift that God is using within that personality. But notice that the end of chapter of verse 6, it says, God who works all in all. So he's actually saying, look, although there are these gifts that are being used by people, it's God who works all in all. So he's the one that's actually making use of it. Verse 7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. I want you to think about that. The manifestation of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The manifestation is given for the profit of all, right? So that manifestation, when we think about that word, right? I mean, if somebody would be sharing, you know what, there was this demon-possessed boy that manifested in the classroom, what would you be thinking? You'd be thinking about a visual demonstration of that demon, right? Being sort of like coming out of that person, or the way he's acting, the way he's screaming, the way he's whatever, foaming at the mouth. You'd have a visual picture, right? If somebody would say, you know, this is what happened, or if that you'd read it in the newspaper that that's what happened, you'd, like, manifestation would sort of mean to you that it would be something unseen, right? And so here, to manifest is the act of making visible or making known what is unseen. Making visible and making known what is unseen. Synonyms could be, it's noticeable, it's detectable, it's discernible, it's observable, it's appreciable. And so really what it is, it's almost perceivable. You can perceive it and you can discern it, right? So when it says the manifestation of the Spirit, it's basically speaking about something that you can discern, that this is God's Spirit, it's not the person. There's a huge difference, right? And so we can all, like, you know, as the Lord ministers to our hearts, we can discern, oh, that was the Lord ministering to my heart. Oh, the Lord was speaking this specific thing to me, right? Because we can sense, perceive that this was the Holy Spirit that was actually working through a person, right? And so that's quite an important part, right? It's the Holy Spirit that manifests through a person, whether that's through speech or conduct. But obviously, one of the gifts of the Spirit is self-control, right? So we wouldn't expect it to be like a demon, right? It would be self-control. It would be absolutely controlled. And very often the gifts are actually used in a manner that the person that actually has the gift doesn't actually even realize that they're using the gift, right? So you might have a gift and you might be using that gift, and then, you know, maybe after, you know, people recognize that gifting in you, they'll say, "Jeez, you know, that really ministered to me what you said to me on that day. Or when you prayed with me on that day, that really struck a chord with my heart," you know? Or, you know, and so you'll be actually getting feedback. And really, if you don't know what your gift is this morning, like, the body of Christ actually affirms your gifting, because they recognize the gifting. They might not say, "Oh, you have the gift of," you know? They might not say that. But they might say, "Jeez, you are so merciful. Man, I can just really see the way you had so much compassion on that person." And you're hearing these things over and over, and you know what? You might have the gift of mercy, you know? So, or, man, like, the, you know, I can really see that you're gifted in, like, let's say teaching, for example. Hey, you know, there were three or four people, and you read that verse, and, you know, that really ministered to us. And then, you know, somebody might give you another chance. And that's pretty much, you know, how I discerned the gift of, you know, what gift I have was through, you know, coming, setting up the church, and then just doing a little one-verse study, and then people would say, "Oh, that really ministered to me. Oh, that really ministered to me." And then I got a little bit big, like a group or whatever, a little bit bigger group, or I could share a little portion of a Bible study, etc., and that's how it progressed, right? And I could actually learn, oh, this is my gift. And so when you know what your gifting is, then you can actually use the gift, right? Because now you're already, it's almost like becoming a sharpshooter. Now you know, hey, this is the weapon that God has given me. This is how I'm going to use it, right? Lord, use that gift that you've given me. And so we're going to be looking at a few of those gifts. But I want you to think about that when it says it's the manifestation of the Spirit for the profit of all, right? So if it's the manifestation of the Spirit, it shouldn't be weird, right? You know, when we think about Jesus and his conduct, he was filled with the Spirit, right? Jesus was not weird, right? When we read him in the Gospels, you know, you can just see this beauty of God's Spirit ministering through him. He didn't do awkward or weird things. And, you know, I think that's very important for us to realize that we would expect exactly the same thing from God's Spirit working through his church or working through us, right? We wouldn't expect like a weirdness, right? We would expect him the same way he ministered through Jesus, the same way he would be ministering through us, right? And that's what we would expect when we come to church. And so whenever something is forced, you know what? Yeah, you know what? We're going to teach you how to speak in tongues. Follow after me. Blah, 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 blah. Stand up. Do it again. Practice it again. Let it flow. Let it flow, you know? I mean, some churches do that. And they just say, "Look, you know, you got to learn how to speak in tongues." Or, you know what, we're going to have a prophecy session where you just, exercise that gift of prophecy. And you know what? It's going to be a bit of hit and miss, but you know, we'll just do that, you know? And let's, you know, have a school of healing or whatever, you know? You're going to come and you're going to, you know, practice this gift, etc., you know? And you know what? If God gives that gift, and it's saying, right here, it's saying that that he ministers through, right? So, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. It's God's Spirit manifesting himself through a person as such, exercising a gift in a beautiful way, right? And so we wouldn't expect weirdness from it, right? And so whenever it's weird, then it's manufactured. Then it's not real. Then it's not the real deal, you know? And so it's not the real deal. It can, and that's what, unfortunately, that's what's happening in churches, is that it's forced, it's coerced, it's produced, it's fake, it's weird, it's manufactured. And I'm not saying all churches, right? But I'm saying there are churches where that happens in, and we've got to be aware of that, right? But this is a charismatic church. This is a charismatic church. We believe in the gifts, and we believe that the gifts are functioning every time we meet. That's what we believe. So obviously from the pulpit, but also during the fellowship time, while you have a coffee, while somebody's praying with somebody here, right? The gifts are in use during the time that we're together. That's what we believe. And so we don't need to, you know, like, I mean, places, you know, where, like, let's say, they say, okay, everybody must, you know, speak in tongues now, anything like that, you know, like, where there's chaos. It doesn't need to be visual as such, right? The most important thing is that God's ministry takes place and that people sense that they've been ministered to, right? That's what we want. So basically, when we get together, what we're actually longing with those gifts is that God's Spirit is among us and these gifts are together used in love, right? Used together with love, and that we are ministering to each other's hearts in a very beautiful, natural way, that when you walk away here after the service, you feel uplifted and you feel comforted and you feel strengthened. And you know what it should actually do? It should do to you, like, at the end of the day, that you say, look, you know, somebody says, hey, you got to be on work. You got to be at work on Sunday. You know what? And you'll get a bonus or you'll double pay. It's like, no way, man. I'm not going to miss church. This should be a place where you just feel like, man, I just want to be here, because this is where God's Spirit is ministering to one another through God's teaching, through the worship, but through each other. And so here, let's have a look at those gifts, right? In verse 8, it says, for to the one is given, notice that word given, underline it, given, the word of wisdom, and then it says, through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge, through the same Spirit. To another, faith, by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing, by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So here we have a list of those gifts, of some of those gifts, right? We're going to be seeing a little bit more later in the chapter. We're going to see some in Ephesians, and there's some in Romans, right? But here it starts out with a word of wisdom, right? But note that it says it's given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, right? And that's like, he emphasizes that it's through the Spirit, through the Spirit, through the Spirit, right? So he's mentioned the manifestation of the Spirit is for the profit of all. But then he's saying, like, whenever you've got a word of wisdom or something like that, it would be through the Spirit. And this is not something that, you know, you can just do whenever you want to, right? You can't be going around going, hey, I've got a word of wisdom for you, I've got a word of wisdom for you, I've got a word of wisdom for you, I've got a word of wisdom, you know? And that's pretty much how you spend your Sunday, right? This gift is not at your, how can I say, you know, you can just use it whenever you want to, right? No, this is something that God's Spirit ministers, right? It's a manifestation of the Spirit. So it's not something that you can wield as you want to, but it would come whenever the Lord wants to use that specific gift. And so often the person that's got the, you know, that might have the word of wisdom at that stage might not even know it. I was in a meeting and we had a complex situation and somebody said, hey, what about this? And it was literally, you know, we were a group of elders and it was almost going like, that's the word of wisdom. You know, it was almost like everybody knew that word that he just said was from the Lord, he might have thought, oh, I've got an idea. You know, it wasn't like, and hearing something or something like that was just so naturally came through him. He gave a word of wisdom, and we thought like, hey, that's a word of wisdom. That was the Holy Spirit that ministered that and applied it to the situation, and that was the solution, you know. And so that's just beautiful how the Lord does that, right? So a word of wisdom is really divine wisdom, and we, like, for example, solving difficult problems or conflict situations where a word of wisdom is needed, and the Lord just goes, you know what? You've been praying, you've been seeking me, here's a word of wisdom. And he gives that to you. Word of knowledge, for example, you know, the ability to communicate something that is divinely revealed. And that also often happens without the person actually knowing. And that gift can often also be from the pulpit, you know, where somebody's sharing something, he's maybe saying, hey, you know, I've got an example. And he uses an example, and after the service, somebody comes up and he says, hey, who shared that with you? Did my wife tell you? You know, because it's a story that is so fitting for that person, right? And without actually the pastor now going like, Lord, do you have which illustration? And, you know, I can't quite hear what you're saying. But the Lord somehow, during the study, gave him that specific illustration. He just thought, ah, that's a great illustration. And he uses the illustration, and somebody is absolutely being ministered to through knowledge that he couldn't have. And so sometimes the person that uses the gift of knowledge might not even know it. So it's not always that somebody would go, oh, I can sense somebody in this room has got backache. No, wouldn't be like that, right? So very naturally, I'm not saying that it can never work that way, but I'm saying about the majority, because you know what God does? He doesn't draw attention to the person. And what happens when a person comes up stage and always draws attention to themselves about a certain gift, then people start elevating the person. That's not what the Holy Spirit wants. The Holy Spirit wants to be elevated, right? He wants Christ to be elevated. He wants God to be elevated. And so that is what we can expect. So none of the gifts are flashy, but these gifts are done in such a way that it draws attention to Christ. And so the gift of faith, just giving a greater measure of faith than maybe the average Christian would have. A greater measure of faith for a certain situation maybe, right? You might feel like, man, the Lord just really gave me so much faith in this specific situation. And he just gave you that faith to go through that. And then afterwards you go, geez, it was amazing. I just had this faith and I can't quite explain it, but I just trusted the Lord through this trial. And maybe that was just a gift of faith that the Lord gave. Gift of healings, obviously supernatural power to heal somebody, sickness, disease, working of miracles, maybe casting out demons, raising the dead, something like changing water into wine. Just, I mean, I can't think of many examples, but just something different to healing, right? Which would be supernatural. The gift of prophecy is very often just sharing God's word with people, right? What's on God's heart. You know, when we think about, for example, the prophets, they didn't always predict the future, right? Very often, they expressed the mind of God, right? They're expressing the mind of God. This is what God thinks about the situation. It wasn't always predictive. And so when we, like, let's say you're up here and, you know, teaching, I pray for the gift of prophecy because I'm praying that God's word might minister to your heart. I'm not praying for predictive prophecy. I'm not saying predictive prophecy doesn't exist. But that's not what I'm praying for. When we come together, I want the Lord to be ministering to every heart here. So I'm praying specifically for the gift of prophecy because in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, it says, for he who prophesies speaks edification, that means to build up, exhortation, which means to encourage and to comfort, and then and comfort to men, right? So that's what I'm expecting. So when I'm teaching God's word, I'm expecting, because I'm expressing the mind of God from God's word, I'm expecting that God will use the gift of prophecy and be ministering individually to, hopefully, each person. But as the Holy Spirit chooses, right? I'm making myself available. I'm making my gift available. I've been praying. I'm praying for that. And, you know, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. I mean, as a pastor, that's what we pray for, right? That even as we're up here and we're sharing, that supernaturally, we're not just sharing intellectually, but we're sharing something that is spiritual, that the Holy Spirit is going to use in your life to encourage, to build up, to encourage, and to comfort. right? And so that's what we desire. Discerning of spirits, the ability to detect whether a person is speaking by the Holy Spirit or possibly by another spirit, right? Or even discerning if something is being done by the flesh or something is done by the Spirit, right? You might be in a church and you're going like, hang on, something is not 100% right here. And you might be discerning, you know what, I think this is more done by the flesh than what it's done by the Spirit. You know, so it's discernment, right? Or you might discern, you know what, that person, it just there's something inside of me that's just saying something wrong with that person. And, you know, like it's almost like a gift with that the Holy Spirit has given where you can, for example, recognize an imposter or somebody that's not supposed to be there or somebody that's got bad intentions, something that you pick up, you know, that you can't explain. You don't have evidence or proof, but you can sense it. There's something there where you go, you know what, Lord, this is, you know, and if you do that, then speak to Jeff. If you discern that, speak to the elders, right? That's important, right? And so discerning of spirits, the gift of tongues, right? The abilities to speak or to pray in a foreign language, right? Chapter 14 is full of it, right? So if you've got any questions about the gift of tongues, I'd say read chapter 14. It's extremely clear. Best don't use a commentary. They confuse you. It's truly so simple. When you read over it, it's like, you know, it's not difficult. And so I just encourage really every believer, study chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Interpretation of tongues, the miraculous power to understand a foreign language that you haven't learned, right? We don't know that the gift of tongues, I mean, for example, book of Acts, obviously Acts 2, right? They're speaking in different languages, right? And there are over 7,000 languages, 7,100, I think it was 29 or 39 or something like that when I looked at it. So many different kinds of languages. And then we'll see in chapter 13, he says, though men speak with the tongue of men and of angels, right? And when I think about an angelic tongue, I'd probably assume, look, there's probably only one heavenly language. There's not much confusion in heaven. So the only reason we've got so many languages is because God wanted to confuse the people, right, when they were building the Tower of Babel. And so very different. And so almost expected to be a real language, right? That's what the gift of tongues is, right? It's a language that is being used for prayer, but which is very clear in chapter 14. Then gifts, it says they are meant to operate. The gifts are meant to operate, but in love, right? That's the most important part. And so, the first manifestation of the Spirit is through the fruit, right? We want to see fruit in each other's lives, right? The fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? So that's the first manifestation of the Spirit. The second manifestation of the Spirit is through the gifts. But God wants those gifts to be used in love. And what the Corinthian church here was doing, they were using the gifts to draw attention to themselves. And that's why he's putting such emphasis on it, right? Actually, you know, some commentators believe that the Corinthian church thought that the only gift that existed was the gift of tongues, because they made it such an emphasis. And he's going like, no, that's not the emphasis. You know, that's not the emphasis. And so, note here at the end of verse 11, it says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And so, it's saying the Holy Spirit is the one that hands out these gifts, right? The NIV puts it this way, he distributes them to each one just as he determines. The NLT puts it this way, he alone decides which gift each person should have. So the sovereign Spirit decides which gift each person should have. That's what the Bible very clearly teaches. And so here in verse 11, verse 18, verse 24, verse 28, it actually mentions it four times, that it's the Holy Spirit that chooses, it's the Holy Spirit that hands out that gift, it's the Holy Spirit that's sovereign over it, right? And so when it says he wills, as he wills, we need to remember in his infinite wisdom, in his unconditional love, in his amazing faithfulness, God knows what we need and what gift he wants you to have for your personality, because he's gifted each single person. There's not one person that is not gifted. by God with a spiritual gift, right? I'm not talking just about, you know, like that, that you're gifted in sports or athletics or anything like that, right? We're speaking simply about spiritual gifts. So as he desires, right? As he wills, as he desires, as he wants, as he commands, as he thinks, as he leads, as he fixes, as he arranges in the body, he is the one that chooses, right? In verse 12, he continues and he says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." So he starts out, he says, "For as the body," and then he ends off, "so also is Christ." He's drawing an illustration. So the body that he's speaking about, he's using an illustration. He's going, you know what, just as the body functions with many different body parts, so does the church function, you know, so it is with Christ's body. And he could have used a different illustration. He could have maybe said, look, it's like an orchestra, you know, and the Holy Spirit is the conductor, and he's going to say, hey, now you, now you, now you, hey, it's now your turn, you know, you blow the trumpet or whatever. And so it's an illustration. He could have used that, but he wanted a living organism, right? So by the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit wanted to say, no, it's just like a body. It's more united than an organism, right? It's not individuals, it's actually one part, right? But yet we are all separate parts. And then we got to notice what happens here, because there are two serious tendencies within the body of Christ. And this is very, very important. Two tendencies within the body of Christ. Let's have a look at the one. Verse 15. Is that 15? Is that 19? No, that's... sorry, my eyes. 15, I think. "If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" So really what he's describing here is an underestimation of your gift, or maybe even belittling your gift, that you don't recognize your gift. You're just saying, like, you know what, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body. And, you know, the ear says, you know, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body. And really what's actually happening is you're underestimating the gifting that God has given you. God has beautifully tailor-made a gift for you, given it to you, and you're not looking at that gift that he is manifesting it through you, that it's his ability through you, but you're looking at yourself. And you're going, like, you know what? When we look at ourselves, we go, like, oh, gee, I don't know. I don't think I can do that. And so what we're actually doing is we're belittling our gift, and by doing that, we're not using it, right? Because we're not stepping out in faith. We're not trusting the Lord that, hey, this is not me working, this is God's Spirit working, and I'm going to trust him to be working through me to touch another person's life. I'm not going to look at myself, because where's the focus? The focus is on self then, right? And you're not going to be producing much if you look at self, but because we need to be looking at Christ, that he's the one that's ministering through us. And so that's what we desire. So don't underestimate or belittle your gift. And if you're guilty of that, you need to repent of that. Seriously. You need to go, Lord, this is your gift, and this is, you know, I want to honor your gift, what you've given me. I want to be a steward, right? And many of us are like, yo, you know what? I've got to steward the finances that God has given me. I've got to steward the business. I've got to steward my marriage. Well, this is probably one of the most important things, right? Is the very gift that God has given you to minister to his body, and sometimes even beyond that, right? Ministering outside to others. The second one is overestimation. If you look at verse 20, it says, "But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." So what's happening here within the Corinthian church, there were those that were puffed up, you know, about their gift. They thought they were more spiritual than others. You know what? Your gift is not that important. My gift. That's what it's all about, right? And so pretty serious, right? And we got to remember
that it's either underestimation or overestimation, right? Actually, in Romans 12, it also says, don't think too highly of yourself, you know, like specifically referring to gifts. So there's a tendency to either think too highly or to think too lowly. And not to just be like, you know what? I don't want to think of myself in the whole equation, right? I just want to trust God that He's the one that's working through me, that He's the one that's touching hearts through me, no matter what I do, right? I remember, you know, it was one of my first times that I was preaching, not the first time, but maybe like 5, 6, 7, somewhere around there. And as I was sharing, I went completely blank. Literally, I mean, I went completely blank. I stood there, and I thought, yeah, and I actually had to apologize. I was like, I'm sorry, I just completely lost my place. I don't even know where I am in my notes, you know? And, you know, and afterwards I thought about it, and I thought, you know what? Maybe the Lord wanted to even use that, you know, to just show, hey, you know what? Somebody's sitting there going, like, I can also do that, you know? And it's just, you know, you just got to trust, hey, you know what, even that God can use, you know? And I love that because ultimately it's not about us, you know? It just, you just go, whatever, you know, God, this is, I prayed about it. I sought you. And if this happened, you know, I guess you can use that, Lord. I'm going to trust you for it, that you're going to use that, you know? So that's beautiful. And so we got to remember that there are some weaker, what seems to be weaker and more prominent. Some are seen and some are unseen. Some are necessary, seem to be necessary, and some seem to be unimportant, right? But if you only look at what is seen, you know, like, I mean, look at our body, right? Can't see my heart pumping. No. Can't see the lungs. Can't see the liver. Can't see the kidneys. You know, and so I'm just thinking like, wow, there's so many parts that might be unseen. And you know what? Like, for example, an intercessory prayer ministry. That could be such a gifting, right, for the church. And nobody knows about you, but you're interceding daily for the church. And the Lord is moving because of you, right? I mean, it's beautiful. We got to remember that, you know, don't underestimate your gift. Don't overestimate your gift, right? That's so important. Now, in verse 28, I just want to read this from verse 28 to the end of the chapter. It says, and God has appointed. That word appointed means dealt out, given, determined, divided, chosen. These in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Now note verse 29, from verse 29, he's going to go into a section of rhetorical questions. He's going to ask questions, and let's see the answer. Are all apostles? No. Very clear. It's a rhetorical question. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. The questions are, you know, it's exactly the same. There's a pattern that he's forming here, right? And that's pretty much from previous verses where he's actually said, you know what, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling, right? So there are churches that teach that, right? That everybody has to speak in tongues. And it's very clear in the scripture that this is not according to biblical. This is not biblical, right? So that it's a sign that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit is the speaking of tongues. Also not, right? And so that's also not true. And so we got to sow God and know the scripture to actually realize, you know what, that is unbiblical. And what actually ends up happening is that those people that cannot speak in tongues, you know, like because they cannot, just can't do it, right? And they feel somehow, I'm not spiritual enough, you know? And they feel condemned, actually, right? Within a place like that. Or they start faking it. Like, you know, I just have to do it because that people believe that I'm, you know, just as spiritual as them. And then you've got lies really creeping into the church, you know? It is so sad, you know? But note this. Note this how it ends here at verse 31. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Now, earnestly desire the best gifts. I love that because there's this very strong emphasis on this. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, it says, desire spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:39, desire earnestly to prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12, it says, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. And really, four times he's actually saying that we should desire that, right? That we should desire spiritual gifts, and it should be, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Not for you to have a gift that you can boast about a gift, but man, when we get together on Sundays, when we get together during the week, when we come together, we want God's Spirit to be touching hearts. That's what we should expect, right? That the church should be a place where you go, I can't wait to go, right? But the thing is, and that's where we're living in a consumer culture. We're living in a consumer culture that feels like, okay, you know what? I'm going to church in order to receive. You know, honestly, that's the wrong attitude. I'm not coming to church to receive. I'm coming to the church to give. And I just want you to think about this for a moment, right? If you, on a Saturday, would spend half an hour in prayer, and you'd go, you know what? I'm going to be walking around the block. I'm going to be praying. My wife might, I don't know, she might pray in the room or whatever. And I do better while walking and praying, or I enjoy sitting outside and praying, or whatever, wherever you feel comfortable to pray, and to say, Lord, we want you to be working in our midst. That's our heart's desire. We want you to be working in each other's hearts. We want you to bring encouragement, to bring comfort, to be building the church up. Individuals. That's what's supposed to happen. And so I just want you to imagine with me, if this church would do that every Saturday, seeking the Lord, and I'm not saying only for Sundays, right? Their midweek studies and no. We want to seek the Lord all the time, right? But specifically, I'm just saying like for church on Sundays. Imagine that. And coming here prepared to minister to other people. And you know, the nice thing is like, you know, we don't have to look for an opportunity. They come so naturally. So as you're sharing with somebody, or it comes so naturally. And you're ministering to a person. And that's the beauty of the gifts, right? They come naturally. That's what it's supposed to be, right? So once you've prayed, committed to God, and then just arrive and be yourself, and God's going to use you. And that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of the gifts. That's the way the Lord has designed it and given them to us. And so here, when he says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, right? Earnestly, with greater intensity. That's what that word means. So have you ever earnestly desired the gifts of God? This is what it's saying, right? With greater intensity, that word desire is to be zealous, to covet or crave, to be eager, to long for, to wish for, even to lust for. That's what that word means. So it's speaking about what Paul's saying here. With greater intensity, I want you to long for, to covet, to desire spiritual gifts. Now, we got to remember, this is not only written to individuals, right? It's not written to individuals, hey, here's your letter, this is for you, right? It is for you, absolutely, but also as a church. So even as a church, we want to say, look, you know what, let's say, for example, you know, we really feel the gift of evangelism is lacking. Lord, bring somebody into the church with a gift of evangelism. Lord, that's what we long for. That's one of the gifts that you've given us. We want that. So there are many, right, that we could actually say, that's what we specifically want to pray for. So as a church, we can seek gifts, but also as individuals, right? You want to say, Lord, use me, whatever gift you've got for me. Now, I want you to remember, four times it was said that those gifts are sovereignly given by the Holy Spirit. But here, four times we are told, earnestly desire the gifts, right? So there's God's sovereignty and man's responsibility again, right? So God is saying, ask of me, and I will give to you, right? And so it's such an important thing. And so in chapter 13, when we get to chapter 13, I just want to read that first portion. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal, become noise and irritation. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Could also be translated, I am nobody. So, even if I have the gift of prophecy, right, that I can convey a message from God as such, right, or I've got all the doctrines, the Christian doctrines, all the teachings, I've got them all down. If I don't have love, meaningless. That's what it's saying. Worthless, right? Nobody. I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. It's of no advantage, no benefit, it's not useful. And so even if I sacrificially do something, but I don't have love, it's meaningless. And so I love what one pastor said. He actually said that this chapter 13, he said it's like an Oreo. It's like you've got chapter 12, the outside of the biscuit. You've got the creamy part in the middle, that's love. And then you've got chapter 14. And it's just stuck together. It's the cream that holds those things together, right? And we've got to remember it's love. If any motivation is out of self, that we're simply doing this out of self, then it's wrong. The motivation needs to be others, other-centered, not self-centered, right? And then he starts off in chapter 14, he says, pursue love. Pursue love. So that pursue love could be pursue, persecute love, press on towards love, hunt love down, chase after it. So beautiful, just the way that's put. If you turn with me to Romans 12. In Romans 12, basically from verse 3 to 8, but we're just going to be reading from verse 6, he describes some more gifts. In Ephesians, he also does the same, in Ephesians 4, but we're just going to be reading these in Romans 12. So from verse 6, it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So here, it's exactly the same, right? Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given. God gives us grace, right? He's handed out those gifts not according to performance, but he's handed out those gifts according to grace. I'm going to hand out these gifts by grace. Oh, he doesn't deserve it. Oh, yes, I'm going to give him double portion of that. Yeah? It's by grace. Nothing that we did, nothing that we can do to earn it in any way, right? And here, let us use them, right? That's the whole idea of the context. Let us use the gifts that God has given us. And so, like I said earlier, you know, coming together, when we come together, we want to use those gifts. And like I said, there's never anything weird, right? It's never anything weird. When God's Spirit is ministering, it's truth, it's love. It's a manifestation of God's Spirit in love. It's touching somebody's heart that he actually knows that God loves them, right? And so really beautiful, then when the gifts are used in the right way, then it's actually a person, it's almost like the person receives the love of God. Oh, wow, God loves me. Oh, God really knew that. God knew that ahead of time. You may be going through a troubling time and somebody just gives you the right word at the right time. Man, God loves me. You know, that's the idea behind it. And so here, prophecy, you know, obviously like we said, speaking the word of God, speaking forth the word of God, or expressing the mind of God. Ministry, the person who has the gift of ministry is like a servant heart, right? The word ministry is serving, right? So a servant-hearted person has got the gifting of ministry. Teaching, being able to make God's word understandable to people. Then the gift of exhortation is really the gift of encouragement. The gift of encouragement or comfort that you come exactly at the right time where somebody is just downcast and you give exactly a word of encouragement which helps the person to lift his eyes to Jesus and he's encouraged again, right? Gift of giving, right? Being sensitive, like with the funds that you've got and you're going, Lord, I want to be used by you. Lord, can you use me? Where can you use me? I'm eager. I'm waiting, right? So the gift of giving here that it speaks about, it says giving with liberality, and that word liberality is with generosity. With give, with generosity, bountifully, that's what it's speaking about. It could also be sincerely. So really looking for opportunities to use your gift. And if that is your gift, then you should be going, Lord, show me when, show me who, show me what time, or show me what to give, when, where, how, but never drawing attention to yourself. So it would never, ever draw attention to yourself. But the gift of giving would always be in a secret way that nobody knows who did it, why did it, etc. As much as possible, right? As God's word says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, right? That's the idea. Same with gifts. So we don't want to flaunt our gifts. So anywhere where you see gifts being, you know, like exposed the whole time, you know, that's unfortunately very often, it's either fleshly, that they just, you know, puffing each other up, or it might not be real. Gift of giving, gift of leading, right? So leading with diligence, with eagerness, with earnest care. That's what it's speaking about, right? A leader that he leads with earnestness, with diligence, and with care for the flock. Then gift of mercy. You know, the heart of seeing somebody that's in distress. You're picking up that this person is suffering. This person is going through a hard time. Or, you know, you can sense, you can almost like feel what that person would be going through. And you're going, man, I just want to be there for that person, right? That's a gift of mercy. And so the idea here, right, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, right, with joy, with optimism, right, as you go, you know, you want to show that with cheerfulness, uplifting. And so really what today is about, when you think about it, it's using your gifts. So every single one has got a gift, and if you don't know what your gifting is, pray that the Lord might use you, right? That's the first step, asking the Lord, use me on Sunday. Use me when we come together. Use me when we come together as a group. And then, you know what will happen? Just keep an ear out. And people are going to start saying something. Hey, you know what? That was mercy. Or that was, yes, you really had so much compassion on that person. Or, you know, whatever. Like in so many areas. Oh, you got the gift of teaching. I noticed you taught there and, you know, that really ministered to me. Whatever. Gift of leadership. I can sense that, you know. Or prophecy, or ministry, exhortation, gift of encouragement. So many different gifts, obviously, right? And so chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, chapter 12 in Romans, and then also in Ephesians. But I think one thing that we should do is we should ask the Lord to use us, right? That's what it boils down to. That we actually say, Lord, I want your spirit to manifest through me in a way that touches other people's lives. That's my desire. I want to allow God to demonstrate his love through me. That's really what it is. Because ultimately, the gifts are there that we might demonstrate our love that we've got towards one another. So with greater intensity, right? Seek the gifts with greater intensity. That's what it's saying. Desire, covet, crave, long for, wish for these gifts. So that Calvary Chapel, here in Paul, might be a healthy body that is ministering to each other and that touches the world around. Because when the body is healthy and ministering to each other, that's when you invite people, they'll come in and they'll sense what is taking place here. They'll know there's love in this place. This is what's happening. People truly care and love for each other. That's what the gifts are meant for. They're an expression of God's love for each other. Let's pray. Father, I just want to say thank you that you've given us gifts, Lord. Father, thank you that you use them all the time. And Father, we want to pray, Lord God. I want to pray, Father, for this body here in Paul, Lord, that your spirit might stir hearts, Lord. And even as your word says, earnestly desire, with greater intensity, desire, wish for, long for the gifts that you've given, Lord. Help us not to despise any of the gifts, Lord. Help us not to ignore any of the gifts, Lord. Lord, and help us, Lord God, Father, not to belittle our gifts that you've given us. Help us not to think too lowly of them, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, Father, if in our personality, Lord God, we tend to be shyer or we tend to not push ourselves into the forefront. Or, Lord, help us, Lord God, Father, to just step out in faith using that gift, Lord. And those, Lord God, of us, Lord God, that maybe tend towards the other side, Lord God, to overemphasize our gifts, Lord, and think too highly of ourselves, Lord. May you humble us, Lord. May you show us, Lord God, the right way. Help us to find that beautiful balance. Help us to express our love towards one another and to a dying world around us. And may you use these gifts, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.